welcome to my podcast. So, it has been a little bit since I last produced an episode. The reason for that is that anytime I found myself interested in a topic, I didn't drop the episode fast enough, so I've recorded probably 6 partial episodes that just were not finished for a variety of reasons, but something just happened that inspired me to record a quick episode. That is that Apple has announced that they are going to, as of next year, probably, they didn't say when, but probably at the Apple event next year, so fall 2024, start supporting RCS. Apple is going to support RCS, and it is the most exciting tech announcement this year in a year of exciting tech announcements. Now, a lot of you may be saying, what the hell is RCS, and why should I care? Well, for years and years, iOS users, iPhone users, have been complaining about the messaging experience when an Android user drops into the chat, because Android does not support the chat. It doesn't support the iMessage protocol, which is what that Apple chat is. Google had several chat protocols of their own over the course of time, but messaging itself is kind of a mess, and people have found workarounds. Globally, because these manufacturers did not have a universal chat, there are external universal chat experiences, but they're not universal. They work inside themselves. That's why the WhatsApp experience that dominates messaging in the world and the Facebook Messenger experience that dominates third-party messaging in the U.S. are two distinct applications that support two distinct chat experiences. Chat's not like email, where it doesn't matter who the provider is, the protocol is the same and they're all interoperable. Chat stands on its own, and iMessage stands on its own. Now, because iMessage only exists on Apple's devices, it causes a communication problem. Because iMessage, the application, supports the texting protocols, MMS and SMS, but those protocols are very old and don't do a lot of stuff, and because they don't do a lot of stuff on the back end, considering security is the main feature, they break interaction with iMessage users. iMessage users don't understand this. All they know is that their interaction is broken when they interact with, well, it's just Android at this point, but any mobile user who's not an iPhone user. iMessage is a chat protocol, so it has all those chat features like read receipts and full-size media when you share pictures and videos and real-time visualization of somebody responding, real-time interaction with the individual messages, so you can put responses, like, I forget what they're called because I'm not a child, but when you put like a little heart on somebody's message, that kind of thing exists inside of the various chat protocols and chat apps. But that's not what old-school text messaging does. Enter RCS, which has been in development for like 20 years. They've been trying to upgrade from what MMS, which was the last elevation from SMS, offers. And MMS has a lot of stuff bolted onto it to make it a more expansive service. If you have phones from this, like the same manufacturer on the same carrier, there's a lot of chat stuff built into the experience from way back when. I had a bunch of different LG phones on my plan at one time, and we could do RCS-like things between LG phones on T-Mobile. Very individual experience, and that's not what you want. The iMessage experience is fine for Apple users, and I understand them not wanting to have to interact with other people because they don't understand that iMessage is a chat protocol as opposed to chat protocol is something very specific. So, but I'm going to call it a chat protocol. It's a messaging protocol that it exists outside of SMS and MMS in a very specific proprietary messaging space. So the iMessage users don't understand that that's an individual messaging protocol, just like what something like the aforementioned Messenger would use, or the biggest chat app in the world, WhatsApp, or WeChat, which is probably the second biggest chat app in the world, but they all exist inside their own chat networks. They're not using an open, global, universal protocol for communication. And that's what RCS is trying to solve. It'll give a better experience to everybody. And if you're not an asshole, then you want a better experience for everybody. Even you as an iMessage user will get a better experience with this protocol bolted on to your iMessage application. So it doesn't replace iMessage. It doesn't mean that the iMessage protocol is now gone and all you have is RCS. It means that when you have an Android user who drops into the chat, it won't break encryption, and that Android user can receive and send your full-sized video and pictures. That's a positive thing, both the security that it adds to add RCS and the experience that it adds to add RCS will be a positive thing separate from iMessage. It's just that where it used to fall back to SMS and MMS when a third party entered your chat, now it falls back to RCS. And it will probably, because Apple does things very well, it probably will not even fall back to RCS. It'll be some kind of interactivity that they build between the iMessage user and RCS, so that in the chat, everybody else is having the iMessage experience and the RCS user is having the RCS experience. That's what I think is going to happen, because Apple just fixed it so that when a SMS user drops into an iMessage group chat, it doesn't any longer break the chat. So I think that it'll be something like that. And that's exciting, unless you're an asshole. And unfortunately, there are a lot of assholes out there. There's a cult of exclusivity that surrounds the Apple ecosystem, and it very much is a cult. More than any other product, perhaps in history, the cult of Apple is is a cult. It's not dangerous. It's not a dangerous cult, but it is full of jerks. And they're right about one thing. The hardcore adherents to Android are big old nerds and weirdos. Yes, we are. We like IT stuff, but it's not just the poors, which is what it is in the popular consciousness. It's people that want either a more robust experience for making the device your own for individualization, or people like me who want to enjoy the idea that they have a full computer, a full robust operating system in their pocket. iOS is not that. iOS does what it does very well. But because there are certain things that it locks out of that experience, because it wants the experience to be sharp for what it does every time, it'll never be a full operating system. It'll always be a supplementary operating system for a lot of people. For some people, for your grandparents who only need to jump on the internet from time to time, they can get by on just iOS. But for people who want to do a robust number of things outside of exactly what that device offers, Android still offers a more robust experience. That's why I like it. Everybody knows that, because I always holler from the hilltops. But that's not relevant specifically to this. Just know that we can all have a good time now. Not now, because it'll be a while. They said next year. They didn't say when. And they said it'll come through with a software update, which for me means that maybe not like the full operating system update, even though that's a software update. So maybe not in September of 2024. Maybe it'll come in spring or summer, but probably the operating system update in September of 2024. Still, this is a good thing, and we should all celebrate. Hooray! This has been a great tech year. Apple released a new iPhone, as they always do, and with USB-C support. Yay! That's awesome. Google released their new Pixel phones that have support for generative AI on device. Kind of. I won't delve into that, but yay! That's awesome. Samsung released a new phone. A new MacBook just came out, which is neither here nor there. Also, Qualcomm announced its first powerful ARM chip for laptops. They've had ARM chips for laptops before. They weren't powerful. Apple lost some of its development team. They kind of split off from some of its development team for its modern silicon, its M-series silicon, which is basically ARM-like chips that have dominated the market. If you're considering performance per watt is what they say. So it takes less power to do the things that it does than a comparable Intel machine or AMD machine, because it's using that reduced instruction set protocols that is ARM. Well, they lost some developers. Those developers went to hardware developers. Those developers went to Qualcomm, or engineers. Those engineers went to Qualcomm, and Qualcomm used them to develop their own powerful laptop silicon, basically developing some new power-efficient but also very powerful cores. That's going to be exciting. Like, we'll see those cores in laptops next year, and we'll see those cores in cell phones, like, maybe late in 2024, probably closer to the beginning of 2025. But that's exciting. Lots of good stuff, and none of it is as exciting as the idea that Apple will support RCS. Like, Apple supports USB-C on its iPhones this year. That's huge. Super fast speeds, because it's USB 3.1, I think. Not as exciting as RCS. Next year, and thanks, Europe, for all this stuff. I personally think that the reason that Apple did this was not Europe, but it was in the mix. Europe keeps enforcing these standards for all of Europe. The European Union is powerful. They enforce these standards. You cannot sell in our countries unless you stop doing these things that are consumer unfriendly. And so USB-C, universal charging, or a universal standard for cables to plug into your device, whatever your device is, to charge. Next year, I believe it's every mobile device has to have a battery that is user accessible, so that users can replace their batteries, which is huge. That is gigantic. Not as important to me as RCS. I don't even use iMessage. My main messaging platform is Messenger, but my son lives in a world where he would be considered lesser than because he likes his Pixel. Like, the last time we upgraded his phone, I was like, would you like an iPhone? He's like, no. He had a Pixel. He wanted another Pixel. He has a Pixel. And in this world that exists right now, young people like him are ostracized, like literally ostracized, because of the iMessage experience. It's not just the iMessage experience. It's the Apple lock-in overall and the cult of conformity that surrounds Apple and its stuff. This will be a nice step in the direction of changing the youth culture a little bit in our country, which is really jacked up. That's outside of the parameters of what I talk about on my podcast. But yeah, our youth culture is trash. Anyway, this is a great thing. Also, something else that may have influenced this announcement. This is not the thing that made this announcement happen, even though this was a couple days ago announced. I think it influenced them to make the announcement earlier than they would have otherwise. Carl Pei, the CEO of Nothing, said for their Nothing phone, they had worked with Sunbird, I think it is. So there are two services that support iMessage on Android. And basically what they do is iMessage is a protocol that crosses all of your Apple devices. It's connected to your Apple ID. So anything that you can sign in with your Apple ID allows you to, any Apple device that you can sign in with your Apple ID allows you to connect to your iMessages because your iMessages are connected to your iCloud. So Beeper and Sunbird both basically have Mac farms, like Mac mini farms or virtualized Macs. And you basically sign into one of these virtual machines, and you don't see the process, you don't know what it looks like, but you basically sign into one of these virtual machines, and the process is supposed to be encrypted so they don't see any of your data. I don't believe that, but Sunbird and Beeper have these services that allow you basically to access iMessage on your Android phone. In Beeper's case, it wants to be an all-in-one universal application, so you can sign into Beeper with all of your messaging services. I trust their business model, but I will not be doing that. But they can have my iCloud because I don't have anything in there. I don't use Apple as a primary thing, so there's nothing in there that I would be concerned about somebody else having access to if it came to that, if they were hacked or something. Anyway, Carl Pei, his company Nothing, made a deal with Sunbird to have their service as the back end for the messaging app that is the main messaging app on the Nothing phone. So now the base messaging app on the Nothing phone, I think one and two, I didn't look deeply into this, but I think it's both the Nothing phones, will be supporting iMessage. As of like tomorrow, like the end of the week, they'll be supporting iMessage through this back-end service. And it doesn't support all the iMessage features, but they said that they are coming. So you can send full-size media, get read receipts, all the other chat stuff that iMessage does will be supported through the Nothing phones. I think that announcement made Apple, I think it made their butthole clench a little bit, because that's people signing in to a third-party service with their iCloud credentials. It's a security nightmare. Even if the service is trustworthy, it's still a security nightmare. Apple doesn't want that, and it And nothing is very small, comparatively. That's not the problem. It's the idea that somebody would implement this and what you can extrapolate out for the future if Apple does nothing as far as iMessage support on other platforms. So I think that pushed the announcement of RCS support. Like I said, this is a good thing. This is going to be awesome. Thank you, Carl Pei. Thank you, Europe. What's Europe's involvement? Because I didn't say earlier. I just said the other stuff. Europe was looking at iMessage as, I forget what the terminology is, but like one of the major platforms that are used by consumers. There's a threshold for use, but basically you have to apply or you have to comply with these European standards of universality if you're going to sell devices in their countries. iMessage is probably under the threshold of active users in Europe because all of Europe uses WhatsApp. Europe has lots of iPhone users, but they use WhatsApp because it is the polite and courteous and most seamless way to communicate with people where everybody has all kinds of different devices. Still, there was a chance that they were going to push this, and so Apple doesn't want any more flack. They already had to add USB-C to their iPhones. They're going to have to comply with the battery standard. They didn't need another thing. So the future is in our favor because of Europe, basically. So thank you, Europe. Thank you, Carl Pei. That's the episode. Just a quick one to talk about this because it made me excited. We'll catch you in the next episode. We'll drop some stuff before the end of the year, I'm sure. There are some other things that I'm interested in talking about, like Godzilla Minus One. Definitely going to do an episode about that. But as always, thanks for listening.